Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. It's wonderful to be here tonight, as it always is, and to have yet another opportunity. You just never know how many more opportunities we're going to have to do this. We are going to open with a prayer, as we always do. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee that thou hast called us, that thou hast brought us here, thanking thee for the prompting of thy Spirit. And we pray, O God, that thy presence would be here, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We pray, O God, that we would be able to draw nigh to thee here tonight, so that thou art able to draw nigh to us. We pray, O God, that everything we do here this night would be pleasing in thy sight, that thy perfect will would be done. And we ask, O God, that everything would be according to thy plan. We ask for thy blessing to be upon the entirety of this service, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to open our chorus book tonight. We're going to start with number 15, The Windows of Heaven Are Open. Number 15. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. Going to turn now to number 90 and sing "The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower." Number 90.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name.
power. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank God for that wonderful name. There's power in that name. There's victory in that name. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to number 77 and sing, "In the Name of Jesus, We Have the Victory." Number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me, can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's look over at number 70 and sing, "If You Believe, You Shall Receive." Number 70. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray. Believe, you must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray, believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray, believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray, believe. You must believe. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, as long as we're on this page, let's sing number 67. Jesus is a miracle worker. Number 67. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn now to number 89 and sing God Can Do Anything. Number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. I am so thankful that we serve a God who truly can do anything. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy mercy and Thy grace and Thy sustaining power, which has kept us for so many years. It truly is a marvel all that Thou hast done for us, and we are so grateful. We pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead this ministry by Thy hand, direct our steps, lead us ahead in these uncertain days. We ask, O God, for Thy wisdom. We ask, O God, for Thy spirit of discernment and the spirit of understanding, so that we may know what to do with these funds in the days ahead, for we know that these funds belong to Thee. Help us, O God, to use them for Thy glory and the cause of Thy holy name. We ask, O God, that Thou bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a few prayer requests to cover tonight. One thing we need to do, we've prayed for her before. Mom and I, we prayed for her the other night, but Ed Nat's sister, she had a stroke, and Ed Nat was a man who used to come here years ago, and he came to church just a few weeks ago to see how we were doing, but we did get a call from him the other day. He was a bit distressed because his sister had a stroke, and she's been in intensive care at a hospital in Milwaukee, so we've been praying for her, but we're going to pray for her again. Her name is Kathy, and then he would also like prayer for his 95-year-old dad. He has dementia, and it was actually Kathy who was taking care of him, so he would like prayer in regards to his father because they're not quite sure who's going to be caring for him from this point on. So we're going to bring that before the Lord as well. And then also we did get a call from Don Forster, and his grandson apparently fell and broke his arm. Carson, and he's been here a few times, so we know that young man. And Don would like prayer that the healing would go smoothly. So we're going to bring that before the Lord as well. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Ed Nat's sister, Kathy. We pray, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven. We pray, O God, that thou would work miracles. We pray, O God, that she would have a complete recovery from this stroke. We know, O God, that this is very distressing for Ed and the entire family. We pray, O God, that in thy mercy and thy grace that thou would touch her. Speak to her soul. Help her, O God, to reach out to thee and to trust thee completely, believing, O God, that thou can do all things and that thou doest all things well. We know, O God, that healing is stroke is nothing too hard for thee, for thou art our creator, thou art our maker, thou created this entire universe, and you made our marvelous and wondrous bodies. So we pray, O God, that thou would touch her now. Let her feel thy healing virtue right now, Lord. We pray, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven, let her feel thy brilliance, let her feel thy touch, and do a work in her life, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Ed's father before thee, praying, O God, that thou would be with him as well, that thou would strengthen him, that thou would grant him clarity of mind, for we know that even Alzheimer's is nothing too hard for thee. We ask, O God, that thou would speak to his soul and help him, O God, to reach out to thee, to believe on thee, to put his faith and his trust in thee. And we pray that his care would be worked out completely, that thou would make a way, even when there seems to be no way, that whatever the details are, we pray that thou would work it out completely and fully. For we know, O God, that thou art a God who always has a plan, a God who has never backed into a corner, a God who always knows what to do. So we pray, O God, that thou would be with Ed's father. We pray that thou would direct everything in regards to his life. And we ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for young Carson, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven, that thou would touch his body. We pray that there would be no lasting effects from this injury, from this broken bone, but we pray that he would have a speedy recovery. We pray, O God, that thou would help him and strengthen him, and that he would reach out to thee, believing on thee as a healer and a deliverer. Speak to his soul, we pray. Help them, O God, to see the necessity of belief, of believing on thee, Lord. And we pray, O God, that thou would touch him, direct his steps, and strengthen him, and help him. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. And there's a song, you know, we've been singing it quite a bit. It's on my mind a lot. And it's number 169, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. Number 169. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. Of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Praise the God. Oh, what a wondrous thought that we'll be able to sing of His mercies for all eternity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley for the night and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How do we do this? Okay, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. It's wonderful to be able to sing about His miraculous ways and the ability that He has and what He can do. You know, it adds to our faith as we get to sing about God can do anything, you know. Anything. God can do anything but fail. And, you know, it builds our faith. That's the God we serve. Amen. And yes, it's time to realize it, isn't it? To realize how great our God is, how mighty He is, and how we can do those things that are impossible for man. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just want to thank God for everybody that's here tonight. And I just want to thank God for everybody online, too. And I just want to say to those that are online, too, that, you know, if you have prayer requests or specials that you would like us to sing or just whatever, all if you'd make it known. I know my daughter Jane's in the office, and she's just glad to take your request. And somehow, you know, we want you to be a part of the service, too. It's a little maddening on our part. We can't see you. But, you know, the Lord knows who you are, and He knows. Yes, that we are all gathered together in the name of the Lord here to worship Him. Oh, yes, to feel His presence, to draw nigh to God, to get to that place where, you know, we're in those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And what a privilege it is that we can come here together tonight and worship Him. You know, it might be a little flock, but you know, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. His people have always been a remnant. You know, we're not the popular folks that, you know, go to the mega churches, but you know, here we are. Because we love the Lord and we love His Word and we're striving to please Him. Amen. And we believe that He's coming again. He's going to come one of these days and this is going to be over. And, you know, we're here for just a little while. But, oh yes, we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, oh Lord, that you have gathered us here together. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. And oh, God, that we could reach out, Lord. We could make our requests known, Lord, that we could draw nigh to you, Jesus. Oh, God, you know us as individuals. You know our needs. You know the cries of our hearts. I pray, oh Lord, that you move in our lives tonight. I pray, oh God, that you speak to us, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would bind the heaviness, oh Lord. Oh God, that you take away the things, oh God, that are disturbing, Lord. Oh God, that you give mighty deliverance, Lord. I pray that you heal those that are sick. Oh Lord, that you give us faith to reach out and touch that hem of your garment, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, oh God, for those that yet have not given their hearts to thee. I pray, oh Lord, that you would call them, Lord. I pray, oh God, that they would make haste to come and find thee, Lord, to search their hearts, oh God, to draw nigh to thee, Lord. Oh God, for you are not far from any one of us. You are here, you're that present help, and oh God, you are seeking, you are searching. Oh God, and you are here tonight. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for that call. Oh Lord, we could not choose you of our own volition, Lord. But you chose us, Lord, and you've gathered us here together. Oh God, you brought us to this hour, to this place, and I pray that you would move here. Oh God, give us the strength that we need. Oh God, the ability that we need, the anointing that we need, Lord. Oh God, that your Spirit would come down. The faith that we need, Lord, to draw nigh to you, Lord, to believe you, God. Oh God, to take hold of the horns of the altar and believe you, Jesus. Oh God, we give you all these things. And oh God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would be here, Lord. I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you use this message for your name's sake, oh Lord, for your children, for your kingdom's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. With the Lord's help, we're going to finish up 1 John this week and this night, and see how the Lord brings us about. You know, it's so exciting to think of those that lived in that earlier New Testament time. You know, wow, that early church, and you know. Peter was one of those that followed Jesus, as we know. He was one of the 12. And you know, how amazing it must have been for him to have walked with Jesus, to have talked with Jesus. Oh, yes, to have been one of his apostles. Yes, it must have been so amazing, you know. And yet we see here in this epistle, I'm sure it was... Oh, yes, he was much older at this point, you know, but yet still walking with the Lord and still leading the people of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5 here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The first verse, chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And it's interesting here, he's addressing the elders who are over those churches, and we know from that very first chapter here in this first Peter epistle that... he was sending this letter to a group of churches. You know, he mentions Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia there in that very first chapter. And in particular, as he begins this fifth chapter, he's addressing the elders, the ones who were in charge of those ministries. And he went on to say, who am also an elder. Likewise, Peter was an elder too. And you know, it's interesting, you know, he obviously was in Jerusalem at the first and you know, led those people there and whatever all happened. But this epistle finds him in Babylon. If we just glance there at the very end of this chapter, it says in verse 13, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." And, you know, this is all interesting. You know, there's a group of people, a Catholic religion that, you know, makes a pope out of Peter. And, you know, the truth was, you know, I don't know that he was ever even at Rome. But here, as he was writing this letter, he was in Babylon. And, you know, we know that he had a family. And, you know, it's so interesting. We don't know a lot of details about the personal lives of the 12 who followed Jesus. But with Peter, we know that he had a wife. How interesting, you know? Those that want to assume that he was a pope and, you know, celibate, I tell you what, no. He obviously, you know, had a wife. And it's so interesting that, you know, she is mentioned, well, indirectly. It's her mother that is mentioned, actually. If you just turn with me just for a moment here to Mark, the first chapter, and you can also find this story in Matthew and in Luke, we realize that one of the first miracles that Jesus did was to touch Simon Peter's mother-in-law and heal her. And it tells us here, as he was ministering in verse 28 here in Mark, the first chapter, it says, "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew." They were brothers, and obviously they were together at this point, it says, with James and John, those who had been their partners there when they were fishermen. But it says in verse 30, "But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her." And we know that Simon is also Peter, and that's very clear in the scripture. And you know, if we looked at the other references, he's called Peter, and he's also, it makes it clear in Mark too, as we go through the chapters. I think it's the third chapter that clarifies that detail in case you know, Andy would have a question. Actually, the third chapter, Mark, and verse 16 says, "And Simon, he's surnamed Peter." So commonly we think of him as Peter. Well, sometimes we might say Simon Peter. You know, to say it more completely, I would suppose. But anyway, it tells us in verse 30 here in the first chapter of Mark that his wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And, you know, Jesus didn't waste any time, did he? He says, "And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." Oh, praise the Lord. We sing about the miracles here tonight. Jesus is a miracle worker. This is one of his first miracles, this woman who had a fever. And, you know, I would say she was pretty sick. She was obviously in bed, you know, and who knows what was upon her actually with that fever. But, you know, nothing is too hard for our God. And Jesus came when he heard of her need. He came and took her by the hand, it tells us, and he lifted her up. And I'm sure it was the authority of his name. It says immediately the fever left her. Just as he spoke the words, the fever left her. And praise the Lord, you know, she got up. And she began to minister unto them. Praise the Lord. Whatever all that she desired to do to help them, to feed them, or supply whatever needs those that were in the house with her had need of. But praise the Lord, that's our God. And, you know, it's so amazing. But I think, you know, there's not many details, as I said, given of the apostles that followed Jesus. But here, you know, we know Matthew, Mark, and Luke both record this story. And, you know, it tells us of his wife's mother's sickness and how Jesus healed her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So here, obviously, back here in 1 Peter, you know, Peter is also an elder, it tells us in that first verse. And we know he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He followed Jesus those 3.5 years, and he witnessed it very clearly. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he had embraced the gospel. Oh, yes, he had been converted. He had been changed by the power of the Lord. He had been filled with the Holy Ghost there on the day of Pentecost. And we know what a transformation came over upon this man when the Holy Ghost came into his life. But here he is writing to the elders in particular. He says in verse 2 here in this chapter, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint," that means not by force, "but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Oh, yes, he's talking to those that are in charge of these churches, and already there's some instruction here that they would take oversight. They'd be overseers of these ministries, and not because they have to, you know, because there was no other choice, you know, somebody forced them to do it. No, it says, you know, not by constraint, but willingly. You know, as a minister of the gospel, as somebody who has been called, you know, desiring to do a work for the Lord. And he also says, not for filthy lucre. Oh my, how many ministries beg and beg for money, you know. Oh, that's not enough. We'll have to, you know, send the plate around again so, you know, we can have enough to, you know, pay for our expensive, you know, our expensive home and our big cars and, you know, the boat and everything else that, you know, we have to pay for. No, that's not why we're preaching the gospel by any means. It's not for the sake of filthy lucre. But no, it says of a ready mind. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn for a moment here to Titus and just read how Paul also addressed this. Paul writes in his epistles also instructions to those that were elders. And if we can go to Titus, the first chapter, this is what he says. This is what Paul writes here in the first chapter of Titus, verse 4. He writes, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So you see, you know, Paul would go from place to place. He was an evangelist. We know he's a missionary. He traveled great distances, we know, to reach particularly the Gentile people. But, you know, here there was a need. The island of Crete, obviously, that, you know, Titus, he had left there to put things in order. And he's telling him in verse 5 here in this first chapter of Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riots or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. That means with good self-control here. And all these characteristics is the kind of person they were trying to find to put over these churches, to be a bishop, you know, in charge of these particular groups that God had brought together, people that had been called for the purpose of the Lord Jesus. And that it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Oh yes, that need for doctrine. And I find that Paul emphasized the need for doctrine. You know, that word isn't too popular these days. So many churches have forgot about doctrine, the doctrine that was established in the Word of God, the doctrine that Jesus Christ brought forth himself. But that need for sound doctrine, so imperative, so important. And here it says, you know, that he may be able, it says, by sound doctrine, both to exhort, oh yes, that need to encourage or to warn, and to convince the gainsayers, oh, those that are out there that, you know, maybe were opponents of the gospel even. But praise the Lord, it's sound doctrine that brings the lost to Jesus Christ. And so that need, oh yes, to have that sound doctrine deep in the heart. And he's telling us here in this chapter of Titus, for there are many unruly, verse 10 here, and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And isn't this interesting? It was the Jewish people, those that had been circumcised, that gave them the most trouble. You see that if you read the book of Acts and read of Paul's missionary journeys, you see those are the ones that persecuted him. He would go to the synagogues first in those churches and try to reach as many as he could. And maybe there were one or two that did embrace the gospel. Maybe there were more, but as he would get deeper into the word, oh, it seemed that almost all of them would reject him and begin to persecute him and begin to chase him out and run him off and whatever all they could do. Oh, you see that example many times. They were the ones that gave him great trouble. And it says in verse 11 here in Titus 1, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Oh my, I wonder if we have any ministries these days that are in it for the money. Oh my, you see that all over the place, you know, in businesses and, you know, the hijacking of prices and, you know, things becoming so unreal. Oh, we see that in so many fields that, you know, prices are actually obscene. But, you know, even in ministries, oh my, you know, churches that might charge. I know of and heard of a church that charged you know, big money if you wanted to sit in the front. It was maybe $100, you know, if you wanted to sit, you know, closer to the front, maybe it was $50, you know, and, you know, maybe, you know, $25, a little more to the back. And, you know, if you absolutely had no money, maybe you could sit in the way back, you know. But I'll tell you what, that's not what the gospel is all about. Oh no, the kingdom of God is not about buying and selling. Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple. Oh, he would have none of that. You know, they were, oh yes, selling things, and they were charging the people, yes, you know, more than, well, it should never have been at all what was going on there in the temple. They were charging big money for the privilege of buying a dove or whatever all they were selling there in the temple. Well, none of it should have been, you know. It was all wrong, you know. They would accept the coinage of the day, the Roman coinage. They had a, you know, it had Caesar's head on it, so, you know, he couldn't use that in the temple. But, oh, they were, you know, used arbitrage to, you know, charge way more than it was even worth. But all those things God hates, not for filthy lucre's sake. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. I believe slow bellies refers to laziness or gluttonous. And it says in verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. See, you know, you just can't go wild. There's, you know, the faith that was once established, you know, that once was designated and ordained by the Spirit of the living God. And that's what we're to seek after. Oh, the need is so great, even in this time period that we live in right now. I think it's, you know, I just came to me right now. That was one of the things that Jude, in his writing there, in his epistle, that he emphasized the need for them to all come to the common salvation. And it was needful for him, he said, to write that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh my, even by the time that Jude was writing, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, with the stepbrother of Jesus himself, oh my, he was realizing the need for them to give all diligence to write unto them of the common salvation. It hasn't changed, you know. Men may have changed it, you know, saying that the times have changed and the needs have changed and people have changed. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change. And Jude was warning even at that time the need to exhort them that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh my, this isn't one way for these people here and another way for those people over there. It's a common salvation. It's all the same. It should be, if we're following the Lord, we shouldn't have a whole bunch of conflicts. But anyway, just finishing up this chapter in Titus, telling them in verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure all things appear, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Oh, we never want to be in that kind of condition. People that profess that they know God, but their works don't verify it. Oh, their works deny the fact that they know God. You know, it's interesting. You know, I go around talking to people as I can, and, you know, so many people, you know, think they're okay, think they are a Christian. You know, I saw a lady the other last night, actually, you know, and offered her a track, and oh no, she said, I'm good, you know. Oh, yes, but I wonder, what does she really know? What does she really believe? Is it like the common salvation, you know, that faith that was once given to the saints of Almighty God? I wonder. But so many profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Oh, dear Lord, people that no longer can discern between right and wrong, not a good way to be by any means. But going back here to 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter was exhorting those that were elders. And he said in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And, you know, he's saying you're not to be a dictator. You know, we all have and individual accountability before the Lord. And, you know, God doesn't want the elders to, you know, dominate over people's lives. But rather it says, but being in samples to the flock. In other words, to be an example. And, you know, it's interesting as, you know, again, as Paul exhorted the ministry there in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We just look here a minute. As he's writing here to Timothy, 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 11, he wrote and he said, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. See all the ways here that he mentioned here that there was to be an example of the believers. Oh, all those aspects of our life, of our living, in word, in conversation, that means in our conduct, our way of thinking, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. There you see that word again, in the need he's telling Timothy, yes, to give attendance, actually, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, those things that were needful, those warnings, those encouragement to the doctrines that had been established. He told him in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And then finally, in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Oh, you know the emphasis on doctrine. It's very clear here, but yet I'll tell you that word is so ignored in today's pulpits. You know that word, oh my, is just skipped over so often. But the need to take heed to the doctrine and to continue in them. For as Paul wrote, it says, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Oh my, the things that are needful, the things that were emphasized here in the Word of God. So, back here in 1 Peter 5, yes, Peter wrote, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, praise the Lord, that day when the chief shepherd appears, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, yes, we know he's coming to judge this world, but he's also coming, oh, yes, to reward those that have been his faithful servants. Oh, yes, there's that crown of glory that fadeth not away. And I love how Peter, in that first chapter that we studied a few weeks ago, he described that inheritance that is waiting the people of God. Oh, praise the Lord, that fourth verse there in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, the things that we have not yet seen, the things that we yet do not realize. But, you know, it says, reserved in heaven for you. That means, oh, it's got our name on it. Those things that the Lord has set aside for us, his people, our particulars, all of those things that are reserved for the people of God. And it's not going to be like the things of this world. Oh, the things of this world that are, you know, able to rust. Oh, yes, those things that can be stolen, taken away, consumed, destroyed, all of that. But oh, those things that are part of our inheritance are incorruptible. They are undefiled. They don't fade away like the things of this world. And they are reserved in the heaven for the people of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We have much to look forward to, don't we? Oh, yes, that crown of glory that fadeth not away, Peter wrote in the 5th chapter here. And then he says in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Oh, we know that, you know, it takes humility to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus was asked a particular question there in Matthew, the 18th chapter. And the question was, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And how did Jesus answer? It tells us in that 18th chapter of Matthew that he answered this question by calling a little child unto himself and setting that child in the midst of them. And then he used that child to illustrate his point. He said in verse 3 here of Matthew 18, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's how he answered that question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, that need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that you may be exalted in due time. Oh, there is a need. The Pharisees, many of the Sadducees, the scribes, so many of them that were in charge there, the church leaders, were too full of pride to give their hearts to the Lord. Oh my, they gave him such a hard time. They couldn't seem to understand that they needed to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, that they needed to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that they might be exalted in due time. They didn't seem to get that point at all, did they? But how important and needful it was, oh yes, to give things over to the Lord, to humble one's heart, because without humility, there was no way that they could receive the Lord Jesus and turn from their evil ways. It was going to take that. Jesus also told that story in the 18th chapter of Luke about two men who went up into the temple to pray. Jesus said that one was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And he talked about that Pharisee who stood and he prayed, obviously loud enough to be heard, boasting of his own abilities and his own goodness. Oh, he said, you know, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Oh, he boasted of his goodness. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But on the other hand, that publican who was there in the temple, as Jesus used this to illustrate this very vital point, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, he wasn't full of pride. He realized that he needed a Savior. He realized that, oh, yes, he had things that he needed to give over to the Lord. He had sin that he needed to give over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, and he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Oh, yes, the way to God is down, humbling ourselves, you know. Oh, yes, realizing our great need and submitting ourselves to the mighty hand of God. Oh, yes, giving our heart over to the mighty hand of God that we might be exalted in due time. Oh, that great need. But so many that were pious, so many that were religious, couldn't seem to get it at all, could they? Oh, that great need. You know, in Isaiah 66, also, that point is illustrated so beautifully. You just go here for this verse, Isaiah chapter 66. Reading verses 1 and 2, it says, Thus saith the Lord, The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, that's the kind of individual the Lord can look at. That's the kind of heart. Oh, yes, they can be recovered. They can give one's life to the Lord. An individual that is poor in spirit. In other words, has a humble heart, not full of pride and conceit. Oh, as you know, it tells us in Proverbs that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's full of exhortation against pride. But on the other hand, the Lord looking to those that are poor and of a contrite spirit, a meek spirit, not full of pride, but rather a humble spirit that trembleth at my word. Oh, yes, those that realize the value, the importance, the great significance of the Word of God. Oh, yes, the fact that it is that pearl of great price. Oh, yes, it is instructions how we might live our life and how we need to give our lives over to the Lord and surrender that heart to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. And so Peter was writing here, as he said, For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, praise the Lord. And then verse 7, which is so dear to us, it says, Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, thank the Lord. There is one that we can turn our cares, our troubles, our worries, all these things that consume us at times, that bring us down, that bother us. We can cast it all at the feet of Jesus Christ, knowing that he cares. We can give it all over to him. Oh, yes, knowing that he careth for us. As individuals, yes, what a privilege we have to come to the Lord. Oh, yes, the one that hears our prayer, that knows our heart, that sees our needs, and is so willing to help us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, there's none like the Lord Jesus. Oh, as human beings, we're so limited. You know, there's a limit of how much we can give and how much we can do. How much we can hear, you know? We're only one place at one time. We all have so many funds or so much ability. We're so limited. But there is one in heaven, oh, that has all power, who has all might. Oh, yes, who can do the things that are impossible with man. And He has invited us to come before Him. He has invited us to come to that throne of grace, to bring our petitions, to bring our needs, to bow the knee, to give our hearts over to Him, to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then Peter goes on to exhort us in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Oh, there is a need that we have to stay close to the Lord. There's a need for us to be sober, to be vigilant, to be watchful. Oh yes, to have our minds on the Lord and not all over the place, to be doing the things that He would have us to do, because we have an adversary. There is one as a roaring lion that seeketh whom he may devour, who goes about, I believe you could say, he's crouching like a lion, oh yes, to devour whosoever he can. But you know, oh, praise the Lord, our God has given us the ability to resist him. It says in verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We can resist the devil. Oh, yes, and know that he will flee. In fact, we find that verse in James, the 4th chapter, right? Verse 7, James 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." These are powerful things that I'm telling you tonight. You know, the need to give ourselves to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh my, this is a closed statement. You know, it's positive. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the need, again, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Oh, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No, you have to draw nigh to God with singleness of heart. Oh, yes, with purity of heart. That need to cleanse your hands, to be right in the sight of God, to give it all over to Him, to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Praise the Lord, we can, if we have submitted to the Lord, if we've surrendered our hearts and given it all over to Him, we then have that privilege, that right, that authority to resist the devil, knowing that he will flee. Oh, he can't stand. We have the authority, the power. We have that saving name of the Lord Jesus, and we can speak it forth and know that he will flee. Oh, yes, he trembles. Oh, yes, at that authority that we have in the Lord Jesus. So, yes, Peter also wrote that need to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith. And that steadfast means firmly. Oh, this isn't a wishy-washy thing at all. You know, this is with authority, knowing in whom we have believed, be persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. So, whom resists steadfast, with authority, with his power, using that name that is above every name, that saving name of the Lord Jesus, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, yes, you know, we don't need to think that, you know, our afflictions are, you know, rare and exceptional, but all those that are godly in Christ Jesus, it tells us, suffer persecution. You know, we all go through things that we can't comprehend, things that seem confusing, things that are hard. Oh, we all have trouble. But the Lord uses those troubles, oh yes, to get us to that higher ground so that, oh yes, we can become that child of God. We can reach that point where we can be perfect and established and strengthened and settled, as it tells us in the next verse. But what a privilege it is to have, oh yes, that ability. You know, there are people that walk around in fear. But the Lord Jesus has given us power. You know, going to the 10th chapter of Luke here for a moment. Jesus said in Luke, the 10th chapter, as the 70 returned after they had been commissioned and went to the cities and, you know, healed the sick through the name of Jesus and cast out devils, they came back saying in verse 17 here in Luke 10, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Oh, yes, and then he speaks of that authority that he gives his people. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Lord has given us power and authority over those things. Oh, yes, say, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the authority that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, gave unto his people. Oh, yes, that we might tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord gave us. And oh yes, there was so much that happened. You know, Jesus was there on that cross. Oh yes, he told them before he was there at Calvary. He said in John, the 12th chapter, verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, praise the Lord, what a work was done at Calvary. All those devils that were all drawn there, thinking that that was their moment. Oh, yes, they were going to crucify the Son of God. Oh, they were going to get him now. Oh, they thought they had their moment. They thought they were really going to do it. You know, they were going to put him to death, they thought. But, oh, my, there was much more that happened. Oh, yes, there at Calvary, Jesus Christ being lifted up there on that cross. What was he doing? He was drawing all men unto himself. And oh, it was the time of the judgment of this world and the respect that the prince of this world was cast out at that point. You know, it speaks of that. And oh, there's so many places I could go. But if we go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, we read of some of the events that happened at Calvary. There on the cross, Jesus taking our sin. Oh, yes. The earth was darkened. There, only those 3 hours. Well, there he was, taking our sin upon himself. Oh, yes. Doing the work that he had come to do. tells us here in Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Well, there was a casting down there of Satan. There was a war that was fought in heaven. You know, it says Michael and his angels fought against the dragon in verse 7, this 12th chapter of Revelation. But they did not gain. The devil and his angels did not gain the advantage. No, they prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They were cast out of heaven. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But praise the Lord, oh yes, as they were cast out, God was gaining the victory. Oh yes, he was, oh yes, as a son of God, giving his life a ransom for many. Oh yes, that body, yes, that he had brought forth. Oh yes, he put on flesh to come to this world. He was drawing all men unto himself. Oh yes, they could cry, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And there was going to be a people, oh yes, that would be born again of the water and the Spirit. Oh yes, that would be drawn unto the Lord, unto the living God. Oh yes, who would come to him in faith, bowing their knee and surrendering their hearts to God. A people that would overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that loved not their lives unto the death. Oh, praise the Lord, that overcoming strength that God gives to his people. Oh, yes, offering a plan of salvation. Yes, because, oh, yes, we needed strength beyond our own. Yes, we needed the Lord. Oh, yes, yes, that indwelling Spirit to be within our very being. There on the cross, as Jesus was lifted up, he was drawing all men unto himself. Oh yes, that we could come freely before that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Oh yes, to find grace to help us in the time of need. Oh, thank the Lord. And now we have authority. Oh yes, authority to rebuke the devil, and to know that he will flee, to draw nigh to God, and know that he will draw nigh unto us. Praise the Lord, that's the authority, that's the privilege that we have in the Lord Jesus. Well, there's so much that we could say, so many places that we could go. But Jesus, as he was on that cross, it tells us in the minor prophet Habakkuk, that there, at that time, when the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation, this is Habakkuk, the 3rd chapter, verse 11, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation, at the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Oh, that's what the Lord Jesus was doing there on the cross. Oh, yes, all those things that were happening in the spiritual realm. Oh, yes, men could not see what was going on in the spiritual realm. But, oh, it was all an indicator as that sun and the moon were darkened there, that habitation. Oh, yes, there were spiritual arrows that were aiming at the kingdom of the devil. Oh, his cohorts. Oh, yes, those that followed him. And oh, yes, the Lord God Almighty, through His Son Jesus Christ, was marching through the land in indignation, threshing the heathen in anger. Oh, yes, oh, there was a spirit behind this. God was doing His work. This is why He came, to seek and to save those that are lost. He came to save us. He knew that it would take His death, His being lifted up on the cross of Calvary. But what was He doing? Oh, yes, He was fulfilling that prophetic utterance that had been given there in that third chapter of Genesis. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Oh, yes, the heel of Jesus was bruised, you could say, in that sense, that He was given His life a ransom for many there on the cross. But He was bringing forth a fatal wound to the kingdom of the devil. It was bruising the head of the devil, that serpent. Oh, yes, that one, oh, yes, that goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, yes, it tells us, yes, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked. That's what Jesus was doing there on the cross. By discovering the foundation unto the neck, oh, wounding Satan, giving him a fatal blow, he would never rise again. He would never have that power and authority over the people of God ever again. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of the villages, head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Oh, all those attempts of the devil. And he's still aiming at it. He's still got his plans. He's still got his followers, those that have not given their lives over to the Lord. There's still enemies of the Lord Jesus. And they think, oh my, that they're going to gain the advantage. But I'll tell you what, oh yes, that plan has been fatally, oh yes, it has been fatally removed. Oh yes, there's an end to the kingdom of the devil and all that he is attempting to do. Oh yes, his kingdom is going to end. His people are going to find their final end, and it's going to be over one day. As Jesus walked through this earth, oh yes, as he walked by the shores of Galilee, what was he doing? He was casting out devils. Oh yes, they had never seen that before, but he said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, then indeed has the kingdom of God come unto you. Oh yes, it just took the finger of God to cast out those devils, but that's what Jesus did. He was scattering the enemy. He was breaking up its power. He was striking through the head of the villages of the enemy, of the adversary, of the devil. And they came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. The rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. But oh my, the Lord Jesus gained the advantage. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horse, through the heap of a great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up with his people, he will invade them with his troops. And it seems like here, this chapter 3 of Habakkuk is giving kind of a little, you know, summary of the events here. You know, in the life of Jesus Christ, kind of just summarized in part here, and the great victories that were gained. And then even until the end here, you know, verse 16, when it describes how he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Oh, I know the book of Revelation tells us how they are going to gather against the Lord and his people. They're going to gather together there in Armageddon to fight even the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. But they are not going to gain the advantage. Oh yes, they were defeated at Calvary, and that defeat is to remain. They are never going to gain what they lost. And there, at the very end, that final ending is the Lord brings this world to a culmination. Oh my, it's not going to be to the devil's advantage. No, the Lord Jesus is going to come up against them. He's going to defend his people. Oh, he's going to make an end of all the devices of the enemy. Oh, yes, all the wickedness, all the trouble, all the confusion, all the heartaches, all the things that, oh, yes, the devil has tried to bring about in this world. It's all going to come to an end. It says in verse 17 here, the third chapter of Habakkuk, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. But the prophet is talking about a time of rejoicing. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. All these prophets just had a glimpse of the glory of God and the things that he was going to do, his plan. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is with his people. He has given his people a strength that they would not have of themselves. Oh yes, we have strength by the Lord to walk in those high places. We have strength of the Lord to prevail against the enemy. Oh yes, to rebuke the devil, to put him down, to gain the advantage, because the Lord God is our strength. The prophet wrote and said, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer are my stringed instruments. Oh, praise the Lord, that strength that God gives us. Feet like hinds' feet, you know, things to do beyond our normal ability. I don't know about you, but I know there are times when, you know, I call upon the Lord. I realize I need a boost. I realize I need strength. Maybe it feels like my knees go to collapse or something. But I call upon the Lord, and I know that he gives me a strength. Oh, yes, to continue what I need to be continuing, what I need to be doing. The Lord gives us strength so we can go forward and do his will. Oh, yes, and have the advantage. He is our strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Oh, a hind being a deer has amazing feet. You know, I've heard that they have like two toes on one foot, and that those toes are covered with a hard covering that we call a hoof. But these deer have amazing ability. They can run on their tiptoe with a springing, and you know, with this graceful, bouncing movement. I recall seeing them run at our missions trips, seeing deer out there in the field, or elk or whatever they were, you know, running, just sprinting, you know, just so easily going through the hard places, going through the high places. And they can go fast. They can go as fast as 40 miles an hour. and how they can leap. Oh, yes, they can leap 15 to 20 feet forward. Oh, the Lord gave them that ability so that they could walk upon their high places. But you know, the Lord has given us as His children ability to, oh yes, to do the things that would be impossible for us to do otherwise. Oh yes, so that, you know, we can rejoice in the Lord knowing that He is our strength. He is our song. You know, He gives us the ability that we need. I believe He's not going to give us an assignment to do and not give us the ability to do it. No, I don't think so. Our God knows how to help us. Oh yes, how to help us to, you know, climb those high places. Oh, maybe get down to those low places to do whatever we need to do for His kingdom's sake. And we have power to tread, oh yes, upon the enemy, to stomp him down. Oh yes, He was trampled on. The Lord defeated Him at Calvary. And therefore, as it tells us in 1 Peter, this 5th chapter, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And as this chapter draws to a close, as this book draws us to a close, it says in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Salvinus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. But I want to look at just for another few minutes at that 10th verse. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Oh my. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Oh, I know we go through things in this world that are not fun. Oh, there are heartaches, there are troubles, there are burdens, there are cares. There's times of sickness, there's times of grief. Oh, there's times when we don't even know how we're going to make ends meet. All those kind of things that sometimes come against us and upon us. But there's a reason for those sufferings. Oh, yes, the Lord is doing a work through those sufferings. After that, ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Oh, yes, the works of God to get us to that place that we can stand before Him, that we can be perfect in His sight, so we can stand before Him without sin, without blemish, without spot. Oh, yes, to have a heart that's perfected. It's not going to come easy. No, we come to Jesus Christ as we are, with all our sin and all our pathetic past and everything else. But we give it over to the Lord. We cast it all upon Him. We turn it all over to the Lord Jesus. And oh, praise the Lord, how He changes us. He begins to work in us. And some of these things are not easy. It tells us in that first chapter of Peter, we were here before. It says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's why we have trouble. That's why we go through tribulation. It's a trying of our faith, but it's more precious than gold, it tells us. Though it be tried with fire, though it be hard, oh yes, though it causes great trouble, yet so that we could be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having ye not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh yes, the Lord taking us through, giving us that ability to go through all our tests and trials, making a way so that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And oh yes, giving us strength to go through whatever we need to go through, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he gave us. Oh, yes, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Oh, yes, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, yes, the sufferings of this world are but for a moment. But one day, yes, when we see him, when we stand before him and realize how he has taken us through this world, how he gave us grace, how he gave us strength, how he gave us faith, how he did all those things that we could not do of ourselves, and we overcame. Oh, yes, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Oh, yes, and we love not life unto the death. Praise the Lord, our God, who is able to keep us. The Lord who called us and made a way that we could cast all our care upon him. Oh, yes, and be able to resist the adversary on having great victories in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why we go through these hard things. But there's an end to it. Yes, and we're going to realize that this temporary suffering is more precious than of gold that perisheth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the grace that you give us, the mercy that you bestowed upon us, Lord, that we could be the sons of God. Oh, God, we don't know, you know, what it's going to be like when we behold you, but we know that we're going to see you face to face. And, oh, God, we're going to be so thankful. Oh, God, we're going to be so, oh, God, amazed, oh, Lord, at how you took us through, how you gave us strength to go through this world. And, oh, God, to be more than conquerors. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Give us that faith and take us through. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals and turn to number 71 and sing Joy Unspeakable, number 71. He supplies every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. His joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. Unspeakable and awake, it is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. Unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory and joy. Unspeakable and full of glory, and the map has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Unspeakable and full of glory, and the map has never yet been told. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.